From team headquarters, this is the 49ers Studios Podcast. It is time for this week's 49ers Studios Podcast. This week's guest, 49ers rookie wide receiver Trent Taylor. Trent, appreciate your time, man. It's a pleasure to have you on.
Yes, sir. I'm glad to be here.
You're quarter of the way through your first season. Four games in. How would you describe everything so far?
It's been a wild ride so far, for sure. Getting used to the NFL level of competition and the speed and all that, and just the type of games that we've had as a team, all these close games that we've had, and coming up short. We're continuing to work hard, and hopefully we can get on the other side of these games here sooner or later.
I mean, 0-4, but it's just so easy to argue that this team very well could be 3-1. A couple plays here, a couple plays there, three losses by a combined 8 points. And so what's the vibe of everyone as they come back again? I mean, it's so disappointing. They talk about the 24-hour rule, but are people able to look at, man, we're almost there, and that keeps people going maybe?
Yeah, I think, I think this whole team knows that we have it in us. We have the talent. We have the guys in the room, in the right places, to be able to win these games. And it just takes a little bit more effort. So we're just going to go that much harder at practice every day, knowing that we've been short so many times. So it just takes a little bit more effort here and there, and a little bit more focus. And that's what we're willing to do.
Take me through your first touchdown, prime time Thursday night, as you guys are trying to claw back against the Los Angeles Rams. What, they call it a whip route? Or what would you call that?
Just a whip route. You can call it that.
Yeah. Beat your guy. I mean, did you have an idea though that you were you the first option on that play? Should you beat your guy?
I'm not sure if I was the first option, but it was definitely a route that we kind of focused on all week. I knew it was just going to be a one-on-one matchup, and I had to beat my guy. And the coaches had the trust in me to win that route, and luckily I did. Got in the end zone. It was a cool feeling. Kind of blacked out a little bit once I got in there, and got made fun of for my celebration and
the
all
that. The fastball that went through the wall at Levi's Stadium.
Yeah, I'm just gonna. I might just keep that. You know, just aim at a photographer or something. That might be my thing.
Yeah, that's one heck of a celebration. Okay, take me to last week. One of the plays of the game is, and obviously when you were drafted, Kyle was talking about your toughness and your ability to catch the ball in traffic, and you're, you know, never going to back down from anybody. And we saw that against Tyrann Mathieu, where you catch a pass, lower your shoulder into him, get a couple of extra yards. He then like suplexes you out of bounds, and you get right back up, and you're in his face, and you guys are jawing a little bit going back to the huddle. What was going on in that moment?
I know all about Tyrann just being from Louisiana. I know he's a feisty guy who loves to compete, just like me. So, I wanted that opportunity to kind of get into him a little bit, let him know that I was here, let him know I wasn't going to back down. And once I caught that ball in the flat and saw him right there, I knew right then I was going at him. And, I wish I would have got a little bit more of him, but I think I gave it to him a little bit. He definitely suplexed me pretty hard, but that's what kind of pissed me off. And I was right back up, ready to do it again.
What did he say?
I don't know, just talking a bunch of trash. You know, it's just kind of the heat of the moment. Everybody's just jawing at each other.
Yeah.
We got respect for each other. He came and said, talked to him after the game, just said much respect. So. Looking forward to that matchup again, and I'm going to go right back at him.
That's awesome. And you seem, I mean, you're a very confident guy and obviously very talented in a number of different respects. Have you been someone who's never shy of talking a little smack at any point?
I like to talk some smack. I mean, not too much because, you don't want the defense just headhunting for you the whole game. So
yeah.
Every now and then, you know, I try to be friends with them, but whenever it's that time, you know, I'm not scared to let them know. So,
tell me about being a rookie on this team. You're four games in. You went through training camp and OTAs and all that. Do you have any rookie duties? Are there any? I mean, obviously you had to carry some pads off the field every once in a while, but do you have to grab lunch before road trips?
Yeah, the meeting room. I've had to buy some candy for everybody. I had to do that during camp. I got this huge list of candy, just, you know, whatever you could possibly think of. They were throwing it on there, so I had to find a way to go get all that, buy it for all the guys and bring it to the room.
How much candy are we talking?
It was at least $100 worth of candy.
That's
so,
a lot of candy.
So yeah,
everything from Sour Patch Kids to
Sour Patch Kit Kats, Skittles, whatever can pop in your mind.
Who's got the biggest sweet tooth in the wide receiver room?
I would say Al does. Aldrick Robinson. He's the guy that was definitely pushing me to make me hurry up and go get the candy. He was on me every day about it until I got it.
So are you free now? Is that was the one duty? You got anything else on your plate?
Yeah, that was about it. The candy's all gone now. They haven't asked for any more yet, but you never know what could happen. So.
You never know. As a rookie, those requests could come at any moment. Tell me about playing other sports growing up. I know you played hoops in high school. Did you play baseball as well? What other sports you played?
I played baseball all growing up. Like, that was kind of my thing growing up. Like, in the summers, I would be on a travel team, traveling around everywhere, just playing tournaments and stuff. And my dad always said baseball was probably my best sport, but it was definitely not what I had the passion for, the way I had passion for football. And basketball, I was also a big fan of basketball. I love playing that. I played that all through high school. And, I would say basketball was my second favorite sport. And then I played some tennis, played soccer.
And when you say played some tennis, like, let's be real. You just, like, decided with your buddy, like, hey, let's just go out for the tennis team because we can, and you guys went to state.
Yeah, I mean, tennis was something that we would always play, like, on some free time, like, on Sundays when there's nothing to do, we'd go out to the school and just hit the tennis ball around. And just senior year, we were done with football, so might as well try it out one time, and made it all the way to the state championship and got beat.
Of course you did. I mean it in the most one envious and respectable way possible. Everyone knows that guy growing up who's just good at everything, and it doesn't matter, video games, sports, ambiguous sports like pool. You go bowling, like, hey, let's go bowling this Friday, and like, I don't know, let's not invite Trent because he's gonna go 250 and it's not gonna be fun. Have you always had that knack for just picking up new things?
I mean, just like, we played in an indoor soccer league my senior year with a bunch of the football guys, and we ended up winning the league, and I had, like,
of course,
I mean, I'm sorry. I feel like I'm talking about myself too.
No,
much,
I love it. That's why we're here. We're getting to know you.
I led the league in goals. It was just like a little indoor soccer league.
Yeah.
But, there were a couple guys like that growing up who were just kind of always good at everything. And I was like, you know, I want to be that guy that's good at everything. So it was like, you know, I kind of just had that knack for it, I guess.
Okay. Give me, what is Trent Taylor's kryptonite? I mean, give me something you're not good at.
I mean, golf is, yeah. I mean, I can play some golf, but golf isn't a thing that you can just pick up out of the blue and be good at, for sure. You know, if I'm playing golf like once or twice a week in the summers, then I'll start to get good at it. But if I let it down, then it's not pretty.
Yeah. Give me good. What are we talking? What's our
handicap? I mean, I'm usually like a bogey golfer.
Okay. So you're like the 85 to 90 range.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that's respectable. Nothing crazy, but respectable. Yeah. He's human after all, folks. take me to draft night. Speaking of golf, I think I asked you this right when you first got here, but I want to hear the story. I mean, you see the video of you pacing around your house holding the putter. Take me through the putting routine while you're waiting for your name to be called on draft day.
Yeah, I mean, the whole day my family was kind of glued into the TV, just waiting for my name to get called. And I was just like, man, I can't do this, because I didn't know if I was going to – I mean, it was possible I could have went undrafted. I didn't know what was going to happen. So I was like, man, I cannot sit and look at this TV anymore. So went and got a putter and got like four or five golf balls and just made a little putt-putt course around the living room and just played around with a couple of my buddies. I mean, just anything to get my mind off of it so I wasn't overthinking the whole process.
You shooting into like coffee mugs or what?
Yeah, right into the coffee mugs.
Okay, and then when do you get the call? I mean, are you in the middle of your backswing and all of a sudden the phone rings?
No, I was actually just sitting there on the chair in the living room, just kind of, I don't know, we were just sitting there talking and chilling, and phone rings, and it said, I forgot, it didn't say San Francisco, but it said some city in California, and I was just like, oh, what is this? I mean, And I picked up my phone, and my mom was like, oh, my gosh, who is that? I was like, okay, chill, Mom. Yeah. We don't know what's happening right now. And it ended up being John Lynch. And then, I mean, at that moment, I knew what was going on and couldn't tell you everything that they said to me at that time because I was just kind of blacked out once again in my mind, just with excitement and everything. And I mean, it was a cool moment, one I'll never forget.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I think to be that first rookie class in a new regime trying to build that culture here has got to be exciting. Did you know going into the draft that the 49ers were interested in you? I mean, did you guys have a lot of interaction? Because the way Kyle Shanahan talks about you, I mean, you were one of the players he felt like he had to have as that perfect fit in what he does. Did you go into the draft with a sense of, like, San Francisco could be a spot where I land?
No, that's kind of one of the interesting things about it is, I wasn't thinking about the 49ers whatsoever. The only conversation I had with the 49ers was with Coach LaFleur at the Combine, just like a quick 5-minute interview, which, I mean, you do that with any team, just a quick 5-minute interview. And that's the only interaction I had with them throughout that whole process. And so once I got drafted here, they brought me in, and Coach LaFleur was like, that 5 minutes, that's all we needed. We knew we wanted you, so we didn't want to let anybody else know that we wanted you, and so we just tried to stay as quiet as possible.
It's so funny, like, hearing that, right? I mean, like, it was a foregone conclusion in this building that you were going to be a 49er, or at least that was going to be the goal. But you go to the Combine, right? And, I mean, not to throw some of my media brethren under the bus, but who have you met with, and who have you talked to, and have you met with this team? Have you met with that team? And everyone's like, I've met with, like, every yeah. team. And, like, it ultimately really means nothing, because certainly there's instances where, you know, people do their homework and they meet with guys a lot and they know they like them. But there's also the total opposite where, you know, they use those opportunities to meet with players with different guys. And, you know, they have this list that they already feel comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
Take me inside the wide receiver room. Give me the dynamic in there. Obviously, a lot of guys, a lot of different personalities. How does everybody mesh? What's headed by up like by Coach LaFleur? Got Pierre Garçon, Marquise Goodwin, yourself. We've got the sweet tooth, Aldrick Robinson. Take me inside that room.
Yeah, we got a lot of good guys in that room. Like, Pierre's kind of our known leader of the room. Guys like, yeah, Marquise and Al, those are the older veterans of the room that we kind of listen to throughout meetings. They kind of give their tips here and there of what they feel about certain plays. And, I mean, Al's kind of the funny guy of the room, and him and Kendrick Bourne, you know, kind of loudmouth, funny guy. We like to have a good time. We're always relaxed in there and just having a good time. That's what you got to do.
What kind of funny are we talking with Al? Are we talking cracking jokes? Are we talking busting everyone's chops? Are we?
I don't know. I think Al's like his own type of funny. I don't know. He's just, I don't think he tries to be funny sometimes. I don't think he knows that he's funny, but it's just one of those things that just, like, you listen to him talk and it's just like, he looks serious. Like, that's what's funny about it. Like, yeah. I don't even know how to explain it, honestly.
I think another guy who to me would be like that is George Kittle. I know you guys have connected. We just watched the bromance video that just went out the other day, and everyone's talking about quality time with Trent and George.
Oh, yeah. That needs to be a show here sooner or later.
Yeah, you guys make it happen. We will provide the resources. Tell me about George, because that's one of the more unique personalities I've had the chance of meeting in my time here.
He's one of the more unique personalities I've had the chance of meeting in my entire life. I mean, he's just an interesting dude for sure. He's
interesting in the best way possible.
Yeah, he's just an outgoing guy who will talk to anybody and everybody. A guy who is in love with WWE for whatever reason. At the apartment, he's always like, hey, come watch WWE with me, man. I'm like, why would I waste my time doing that? No, I'm not going to do that. He's like, man, it's such an important fight tonight. I'm like, okay, I could care less, but thanks, man.
So you guys live together?
Yeah, me, him, and J.P. Flynn, we all live together.
Okay, so whether it's in that apartment or in the locker room or on a road trip or during training camp, give me a funny story. Give me something that's happened, and I take some time to marinate on it, but give me a funny story. Give me something that fans don't know about that was one of your memorable experiences so far. For example, Talking to Daniel Kilgore a couple weeks ago, he gave me one where they made Eric Magnuson sing into the bus microphone on the way to Kansas City. So something of that.
Well, nature. I mean, I'll say this, that on my touchdown that I scored against the Rams, you know, me and George, we kind of have our own little handshake that we do, and which we got made fun of this really bad in the team meeting room not too long ago. We just completely botched our handshake the first time we did it, and they got it all on film. Botched the handshake the first time, and then, like, we try to do it again, and we mess it up again, and, man, it just looked horrible. Probably, like, one of the worst celebrations, like, with someone else after a touchdown ever. I mean, it was embarrassing. The whole team was laughing at us. But I mean, it was fun.
All right. I love it. On that note, there's nothing worse than the, like, you go in for the fist pound, someone else goes in for the handshake.
It was one of those things.
Like, and then you switch, but then they switch, and, like, you go back and forth, and then, like, it just it just absolutely devolves from there.
Yep.
Trent, that's all I got, man. Getting ready for this weekend. I'm sure looking forward to another opportunity to get in a win.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I mean, we all believe in each other in this room. Around this team and all the coaches, we all got belief in each other, and I mean, I think it's just a matter of time before we start really clicking out there on the field and start getting these wins going.
Trent, it's been a pleasure, man. I appreciate your time.
Yes, sir. Thank you.